Hey, everyone. We are opening up this week's inbox, and I have Candace on the phone. Candace.
Hey, Lisa. You might hear some boats in the background. I'm in Michigan today.
Oh, very fun. You're there with the family, I understand.
Yes, some of the family. There are many, many little children running around with sunscreen on. It's been fun.
That's good. Well, I always love hearing of people's summer adventures. That's very cool. So you guys always seem to do that well and have fun getting away. So very fun.
Well, we're doing our best.
Good. Well, hey, I've got a great question for you today, and very excited to see what you're going to do to help this listener, because I think this is an unspoken question in the minds of many women. I know many women who are in this type of situation, and so this is going to be great to get some wisdom on this one. This listener says, I have a good friend who's been dating a wonderful, godly man. Recently, she told me that she had a one-night stand with another guy. She confessed to her boyfriend, and he forgave her. The problem is, I can't forgive her. I think this intelligent, kind, and God-fearing man deserves someone better. I know it's none of my business, but it breaks my heart and really irritates me that my friend could get a wonderful Christian guy, but doesn't appreciate it, whereas people like me, who don't get involved in messy situations like this, always end up being with jerks. It's so unfair. To be honest, I envy my friend. Do I have to have a messy life too in order to get God's favor? I don't smoke, drink, sleep around, or do anything that might upset him. But why does it seem like he does not care about me? Sometimes I wonder if God is real or if he even exists. I feel that I always go through my darkest moments alone. But whenever my friend is in trouble or needs something from God, she always gets it. What do I need to do to get his favor or to feel his presence? And how do I get rid of this green monster in me?
Well, this is a great question, and I think it happens to the best of us to feel envy over somebody else's situation. You know, when I first read it, I thought of that scene in one of the Narnia books where Lucy is talking to Aslan and asking about what was going to happen to someone else, and he said, you know, all you get to know is your story.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't get details on someone else's story, and you never, you can't imagine what it's like to be her. And it's oversimplifying to just say, well, you know, she's bad and I'm good and she gets what she wants and I don't.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it demonstrates that she doesn't understand the nature of her own fallenness, mm-hmm. that none of us are good before God, that we all have committed an infinite offense against him and we all stand condemned. And really, it's almost backwards to say, I deserve it and she got it and that's not fair, when what we really should say is, it's a mercy and a miracle that anybody gets anything other than what we deserve, which is eternal condemnation.
Right.
And so I think the best antidote to envy is to stop focusing on what you don't have and to start focusing on what you do have. To start counting her blessings, and that sounds so trite, but it really is an antidote if you just start to give thanks for all the things that God has been gracious to give you, and also to start pouring yourself more deeply into other people, because I think when you do that, you realize what looks like an ideal situation often, almost always is, you know, never, I guess, if I want to go out there and just be bold, it really is never what you think it is, what it appears to be on the surface. There's always more going on. And I have found that when I feel envious of somebody, and I have two choices. I can either focus on what I don't have and focus on what I perceive them to have, or I can ask the Holy Spirit to help me start investing in that person and ask questions and go deeper. And almost always I find out, oh, their life isn't quite as perfect as it appeared on the outside. And there really is hurt there, and there's insecurity there, and there's all the same things that I have. And I don't do that to gloat over what, you know, to say, oh, great, she's suffering too, ha, ha, ha.
Mm-hmm.
But to say, no, she has needs just like I have needs, and we're sisters in Christ, and if I'm going to be Christ-like and demonstrate God's love in all situations, then I really need to pour myself into her and be helping her. And then I guess, you know, when all is said and done, if you can't get over the fact that she's got him and you don't, you really probably need to search your own heart and repent, but also maybe spend a little less time with her. If it's just too much temptation to envy, then don't hang out with them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think it's important, too, to say, I mean, obviously, it's just said in a brief statement here, the fact that her friend did have a one-night stand and did confess it. You know, I mean, that's not just something that you confess and then it's like, okay, so everything's back to normal. I mean, there are ramifications of that, and not that they're this girl's business, but I think that we can recognize that, like you said about the whole Narnia story, God is working a story within each person that is going to encompass the sin, the good, the bad, the, you know, what there are consequences that maybe we don't know about, you know, that relate to this. And just because it seems like God's, quote, rewarding her with, you know, this guy keeping her in light of that, doesn't mean, I mean, we don't know. I mean, God could throw two amazingly godly and, you know, people with supposedly pristine records together, but that may not be the best way that he wants to work sanctification in someone. Maybe, you know, maybe someone with a charming, idyllic story, their story has to be shaken up by having to deal with difficult, you know, it's just, we just don't know.
Well, and I think, too, it's a scarcity mentality. She really, I think, believes that this guy is the last good guy.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And that demonstrates a lack of faith in God, that he could bring another really great guy along for her.
Yeah.
And bitterness is never attractive to a man. So a woman who is so focused on what she doesn't have is so much more likely to be bitter, and that's so off-putting to a good guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And as someone who can look back and see several guys in my life that I thought were a great guy and now realize, oh my goodness, you know, it's a great thing that things didn't work out with them. I can see that from the other side. And I think it's a great thing to make yourself look ahead and say, you know, a year down the road, 2 years down the road, is it possible that I could look back on this and see it as a good thing? And I think almost always it is.
Yeah. So keep praying, my friend, because the enemy would love for you to be bitter and envious and all the other sins. And this is a time for her to really be pressing into the Lord and growing in her faith.
Yeah, I think that's good advice. So, well, thanks so much, Candace. That's great.
You're
great
welcome.
Words. So, okay, everyone, as always, we want to hear from you. Write to us at editor@boundless.org so we can address your question on a future show, whether it's about relationships or something else that's going on in your life. We will do that. And until then, make sure you're keeping up with the shows. Make sure you know what's going on and that you're passing them on to your friends and that you write to us with any ideas for future shows that you have as well. That is it for this week's show. I'm your host, Lisa Anderson, for The Boundless Show.